Happy Easter. You know, Alleluia is the Christian song. And we sing it tonight in a special way because we want to say as loudly as we can that he's risen, that he's alive. Happy Easter. Why that's important is because this is the best thing that has ever happened to the human race. This is the best thing that has ever happened to us. I want to tell you a story about a guy, a priest, who found himself afflicted with a terrible disease, especially for a priest. It'd be the worst thing that could happen to a missionary of God's love. He was losing his voice. And it was far more serious than that. He was really dying. And one of the things that was happening was that his vocal cords were being attacked by the disease that would ultimately kill him. One Easter vigil, he sat down to write to his niece. And he said to his, he wrote in this letter to his niece, you know, it's a terrible thing at Easter to have no voice and not to be able to sing and shout, Alleluia, he is risen. But it's a more terrible thing to have a voice and not want to shout and not want to sing and not want to say at the top of your voice, Alleluia, he is risen. Yeah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is our song. This is our song. This is our cry. Why? Because the deepest cry of the human heart is that we will be able to know that we have one who has defeated death, and where he goes, we shall follow. There's something in us that is outraged at death, that knows that it's wrong, that knows that it's not the way it was supposed to be. And it's through Jesus, the one who has defeated death, that our heart is set free to live forever. You can settle down just a little bit or I won't get through this. You know, there are just two questions that I want to look at tonight. The first one is, what happened that first Easter day? And the second thing is, what does it mean for us? What does it mean for us? What happened? You know, we struggle to get our heads around Jesus' death. But at least that's within our human experience. People we know have died. We've had glimpses of our own mortality, perhaps. We even know something about the innocent suffering and dying. So while we don't know everything, and while we can't understand everything about Jesus' death, at least it belongs within our frame of reference. At least we've got a glimpse of what it means. But the resurrection of Jesus blows all of our categories. When the first people who witnessed the resurrection wanted to talk about what had happened, they used a very particular word. And they could have chosen other words. But the word they chose was anastasis, which means resurrection, which means he was raised. You know, they could have chosen other words. They had a word for ghost. They had a word for hallucination. They probably, if you put a few words together, had a word for, we all sat around and remembered the guy who died, we all got a nice warm fuzzy feeling and thought, oh, maybe he's risen in our hearts. But that's not the word they used. The word they used was that he was risen, that he's alive. In other words, the word means he got up. The one who had been crucified. crucified, the one that they had seen die just a few days before, got up. That's resurrection. And when those women came to meet him, they didn't see an empty tomb alone. They saw him. Not a hallucination, not a ghost. They saw him risen. And we come to one of the most beautiful lines in the gospel. That as they went to the empty tomb, as they heard the angel's message that he had been raised, what they found coming to meet them was Jesus. That there coming to meet them was Jesus. The one who had been crucified. The one who had lost his life. The one that they had seen die on the cross came before them. And as they clasped his feet, they felt the marks of the nails. They touched the wounds. Others would eat a meal with him. Still others would have him appear and speak with them. 500 witnesses or more, we're told in the New Testament, saying that they saw the one who had been crucified get up. He's risen. He's risen. He's alive. There, coming to meet them, was Jesus. What I want to say to you tonight is that here, tonight, now, coming to meet you and me, is the risen Jesus. That the same Jesus that those women met on the road meets us by the power of his Spirit. We can't touch his feet like they did. We don't eat a meal in quite the same way with Jesus that they did. But by the power of the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, we can know him, we can meet him, we can discover that he comes to us and he fills us with his presence by the power of the Spirit. That's what we celebrate tonight. That he has come. That he's come to meet you. That he's come to be with you. And he wants to share with you his risen life. The fact that he is risen, the fact that he's alive again, means that we can live again. The fact that he's alive means that we will live forever. And the first consequence of that is that we will beat death too. We will conquer death, not by our own power, but by Jesus who has risen from the dead. That we will live forever. Yes, you and I are going to die. But for us, that is not the end. For us, that is the beginning of glory. The new life that Jesus has experienced. The new life that he received at that moment. He, the Lamb once slain, who now lives forever, he shares with you and me that we too will live forever. And in case you think that's boring, in case you think that draws on in sort of some kind of dull existence, let me tell you a bit about what that new life looks like. Firstly, there's a new love. There's a new love. The very love that God the Father has for Jesus, the love that raised him from death is the love that you and I can know. It's the love that you and I can experience. It's the love that we receive through the power of Jesus risen from the dead. And that love gives you a new power to love. Not only are you loved with an unfathomable love, you are also given a new power to love as he loved. You're given a new joy. You're given a new joy. A joy that knows no limits because Jesus has destroyed the limits. He's taken them away because when he defeated death and when he defeated sin, he destroyed the normal limits of joy. The joy that Jesus gives is the joy of knowing that I'm loved no matter what, that I'm loved beyond the grave, that I'm loved forever. A joy that comes from knowing that he is always with me, that he will never forsake me, that he will never abandon or leave me. It's the joy of knowing that I'm invincible, that no matter what happens to me, No matter what darkness I experience, no matter what pain comes my way, and for the life of a Christian, that will happen. I have got hold of a joy that cannot be taken away because Jesus has conquered all. If he's beaten death, if he's beaten sin, if he's conquered Satan's pride, there is nothing left for him to win. You are the recipients of an extraordinary joy. And he also gives to us a new power. A new power dwelling deep within us. A new hope. That in the darkest of moments, we know that he's alive, that he's risen. That when we think that all is lost, that's just where hope is born. That's just where his risen life kicks in. Now I want you to know that heaven starts now. That new life begins now. That this life is not a waiting room for heaven. You're not sitting in an airport lounge tonight. You're sitting at the beginning of heaven's gates. Because heaven starts now, because heaven is his new life. And that new life is a new life for all of us. It's a new life that begins now. And we only get a glimpse of it here. We only get the smallest taste, but we get enough. We get enough. We get the power. We get the love. We get the joy that rises up within us and that cannot be defeated. We will know it only imperfectly in this life, but we will know it forever in heaven. But it starts now. It begins here. Why? Because by the power of his Spirit, he's given it to us. He's given it to each and every one of us. No one is excluded. No one is left out. No one is forgotten. For all to come to him. New life, new love, new joy. It's there for you. If you want to know what that's like, if you want to see the new life, if you want to experience his risen life working in you, what I want to suggest to you tonight is pick a tomb. Pick the darkest place in your life. Pick the darkest death-filled crevice in your heart. It might be the loneliness you feel. It might be the addiction that you've succumbed to. It might be the fact that you feel rejected. It might be that your sense of self-worth has been shattered. Pick a tomb. Whatever tomb it is, that's the place that Jesus wants to show you his new life. That's the place where he wants to burst out. He wants to bust you out of that tomb. Why? Because he's really good at it. Because he wants you to know in the depths of your heart that he can save you, that he can raise you up, that he can bust you out. You see, there's a jailbreak going on. We're all on death row, but Jesus is busting us out. He's breaking free from every tomb. So you pick a tomb. Pick the darkest place in your heart and know that Easter light can fill it. Know that the resurrection of Jesus has power to work there. Know that his love can reach that dark place. Know that his life can break through. Know that his light can penetrate that darkness. Let him bust you out. Let him bust you out of that tomb. Let him bring you to life. Let him bring you to a life that comes in the most surprising place because you thought you were dead there. Let him break you out of that. Because that's what he does best. That's what he does with all of his being. He's the risen one. He's alive. Hallelujah. When the women came to Jesus, we're told that they were afraid. There's some of you tonight that are afraid. And I think those women were afraid because they didn't know who it was at first. They couldn't get their head around the fact that he'd come back. But there was a deeper thing going on. And that is that whenever God draws close, there's something in the human heart that gets scared. And that's because sin has distorted what God is really like for us. We think in some way he's going to get us. We think in some way he's going to ask something impossible of us. And so the very first words that the risen Jesus says is do not be afraid. And I want to say that to you tonight. Do not be afraid. If you want to know the risen Jesus, do not be afraid. If you're scared of what it means to give your life to Him, let Him say to you now, don't be afraid. If you're scared of opening up that tomb, let Him bust you out anyway. You don't want to stay there. How do I know that this is true? How do I know that this is real? How do I know that Jesus really is risen? Because for 2,000 years that jailbreak's been going on. For 2,000 years people have been busting out of tombs. For 2,000 years people have been experiencing the new life and the new hope and the new joy and the new love that Jesus brings. And I know it because I know it's true in my life too. I know that I have met Jesus by the power of His Spirit. I know that He has given me a new life. I've begun to walk the life with Him, the new life. I know something of the new joy that He brings. I know something of the new hope. And I know something of the new and unfathomable and beautiful and amazing love that only God can give. And I've been busted out of plenty of tombs. And He keeps busting me out of those tombs. And He's kept doing that for nearly 20 years. That's how I know that Jesus is risen. That's how I know that He's alive. Because I know that He's done it in the lives of men and women for 2,000 years. I know He's done it in my life. And I know He can do it with us tonight. I know He can do it with you and me again. And so I want to say to you tonight, arise. I want to say to you, get up. I want to say to you, be alive again because He's alive again. I want to say to you that there's no light brighter than the light of resurrection. And that there's no darkness that that light cannot reach into. So let Him bust you out tonight. Let Him break you free. Let that tomb that you're living in be a place where you find the life, the hope, the peace, the joy that only Jesus can bring. That only He can offer. Arise. Stand up. Allow yourself to come alive again by His power. By His risen power working in your life. Let the divine surge emerge in you. Arise. And so those people tonight who have never ever stood publicly and said, I want to follow Jesus. I want to know that new life. I want to experience what it is to meet the risen Lord. I want to invite you tonight to rise up. I want you to allow Jesus to get you out of your seat, to invite you to come forward. Why? Because it takes something, a step on our part, just a simple step, to know that then Jesus will come to meet us. So if you've never done that before, if you've never publicly said before others, I want to follow Jesus. I want to be His. I want that new life. I need the peace that only He can bring. I want to know what risen joy looks like. If you want to be busted out of a tomb tonight, if you want to be set free, if you want light to penetrate your darkness, come forward. Come on now. Let me pray with you. Let all of us pray with you. And then in a few moments, I'll invite everybody else who'd like to renew their commitment to Jesus to also come forward. But if you've never done that before, don't be afraid. Let Jesus get you up out of your seat. Come up the front. Stand for Him. Allow Him to raise you up. Don't be afraid to come forward. Thank you. It's 3 p.m. Sorry. I want to say that it's really exciting to see you up the front here. To see you at this point. Such an important moment. It's a moment where you're saying yes to God in a very beautiful way. Jesus sees that. He sees your heart. He knows why you're standing up here. Nobody else does, except you. But he knows it. He knows why you're here. He knows why you're standing up in front of him. So I'm just going to pray with you. I'm going to ask that you would receive that love and that life and that peace and that joy that only Jesus can bring. I might invite you to just open up your hands, perhaps as a sign of your openness to what Jesus would want to give to you. So Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, the risen Lord. Thank you for his love, his power, for his risen presence. These people who have come forward tonight, these young ones, want to meet your Son. They want to meet him. They want to know the love that you have for them, which you showed us on the cross when your Son died for us. Father, pour out your love upon them. Lord Jesus, come into the dark places of their hearts and lives now. You are the risen Lord. You have beaten death. You have conquered sin. Come and fill the dark places. Bust them out of the tombs that they're in. Set them free. May they know you. May they meet you. May they discover you, that there's nothing better in this world than knowing you. That there's nothing more beautiful, more wonderful, more powerful than your risen presence with them every day of their lives. Strengthen their commitment that they're making by coming forward tonight. In the days to come, give them everything that they need to be able to follow you. May they always know that you're with them. May they always know that in their darkest moments you're there. That in the times when they feel most alone, that you are right beside them. Lord Jesus, may they come to know you. May they be able to say with St. Paul that everything is rubbish compared to you. That nothing can outweigh the supreme advantage of knowing you, our Lord. For you are the risen King. You are glorious Lord. Thank you for these brothers and sisters. Thank you for these young people. Thank you for their response of faith to you tonight. Give them what they need. Give them what each of them individually need, Lord, that you know best. Give that to them now. We make this prayer in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.